Hi, and welcome to English Digest. My name is Tim.
My name is Mary Beth.
And we're looking at Lesson 6, which is a two-part unit. And the name of this unit is Genius, Not Genteel. I wonder what we could mean by that.
Well, a genius is someone who's just fantastic at doing something or very, very smart. And someone who's genteel, well, is nice, polite, and kind. And this person who we're talking about is a genius. He or she is wonderful at what they do, but they're not very genteel. They're not very nice, polite, and kind. And I'll give you a hint. We're talking about tennis. Tim, who do you think is a genius but not genteel?
Well, I would have to say Leighton Hewitt, because at this point in the season, he is number one. He is the best tennis player out there. He has the most points out of anyone. Of course, right behind him is Andre Agassi. At this point, he is only 43 points behind him, so really, at this point, we don't really know who's going to end up number one at the end of the year, but we do know that Leighton Hewitt has been number one throughout this year.
And he's certainly a genius on the tennis court. He's only 21 years old, and he's won Wimbledon, he's won a U.S. Open, but he does have this reputation for not being the nicest person on the court. He's not very genteel.
That's right. He has made some, well, I guess mistakes. He has said some things on the court that have not been nice. And of course, people watching tennis know this man because he has made some very bad outbursts. In fact, he kind of reminds me of some tennis players in the past, like John McEnroe. He was a very, very good tennis player. But, oh, watch out. If he lost his temper at you, forget it. He just went crazy.
They called him the bad boy of tennis, actually. And he was known not only for outbursts of screaming and yelling and cursing, but he would throw his racket around a lot. That's also not very genteel.
No, it's not very genteel, but you know what? It creates more interest in the sport. I know before Leighton Hewitt came along, we had some other players who were very, very good, like Pete Sampras. But Pete Sampras, he is not a very emotional guy. He is very in control all the time. So even though he was a very good tennis player, and still is a good tennis player, he was not very exciting for people to watch. He didn't attract the fans as much. Whereas a guy like Leighton Hewitt, people want to see this guy because you never know what he's going to say next.
Right. You never know what's going to happen next. Plus, he's young and he's very attractive. So that's also good for men's tennis, for getting people, especially the women, to tune in and watch, because there had been this tendency for men's tennis not to be so popular because it was just boring, not just the people, but the fact that these guys were hitting balls at 70 miles an hour and nobody could return a ball back. You weren't getting these nice long volley exchanges that you had with women's tennis. But along came Leighton Hewitt and really turned things around. And now people are once again interested in men's tennis.
Exactly. Well, women's tennis has been popular for a long time. I think it's partly to do with the longer rallies. They take longer. But also, women are beautiful. They're beautiful to watch. If you look at some of the players like Anna Kournikova, we all know her. She's a Russian tennis player. She's beautiful. Not a very good tennis player. People just go to see her. They don't care about her playing tennis. They want to see her. But you know what? I think we should read through today's article now.
Our title today is Genius, Not Genteel. And our subtitle, The Trouble with Leighton.
For a 21-year-old, Leighton Hewitt has made some impressive achievements. The young Australian has already attained Wimbledon and U.S. Open titles and the distinction of being the youngest number one ranked tennis player in history. Less impressive, though just as memorable, have been his on-court outbursts.
Hewitt gloriously won his first professional title in his hometown Adelaide in 1998. 2 years later, however, at the same tournament, the home crowd were jeering him because he had branded them stupid for cheering his opponent. At the 2001 French Open, he offended disabled people when he called the chair umpire a spastic.
But Hewitt's most controversial moment came during the 2001 U.S. Open when, upset with one particular linesman's calls against him, he loudly suggested the chair umpire look at the similarity. To most observers, the only apparent similarity was that the linesman and Hewitt's opponent, James Blake, were both black.
Hewitt claimed that his remarks weren't racially loaded, that the similarity he was referring to was between the bad calls and the end at which they were continuously being made. Not the most articulate player on the circuit, It's a good thing that these days, Layton lets his racket do most of the talking.
Well, that is a good thing, and I remember the time when he did that when he was playing against James Blake in the U.S. Open, the 2001 U.S. Open, and people were really, really mad about that. When you talk about discrimination, especially from famous people, you can get in a lot of trouble.
At the actual Open, were people in the stands, were they yelling, or did anybody say anything?
Well, I think people didn't really realize at that moment exactly what was happening. I think it was later when it was in the media, it was in the news, and that's when it really came out what had happened. I think during the actual match, it wasn't as bad. It might have been pretty bad, but later on, it became a very big issue. And Leighton Hewitt actually apologized to James Blake. They had a talk about it afterwards, and they were okay with it after that. They had a long chat, and now they're fine. They actually played each other again at the 2002 U.S. Open, and they were fine. There was no controversy from that match.
Who won the match in 2002?
Well, Hewitt won that match also.
Oh, he won the 2001 then.
Yeah, he won both matches. However, in the 2002, he didn't actually win the U.S. Open. In 2001, he won the U.S. Open. In 2002, he lost because Pete Sampras was the man who won the 2002 U.S. Open.
Well, maybe Layton isn't such a bad guy. I mean, certainly I could see where his remarks could be misconstrued or misunderstood. But on the other hand, if he's always saying bad things and doing bad things, you would assume that he's going to do something bad again.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Well, sometimes people get a bad name. If you get a bad name, a bad reputation, then people think, oh, well, he is bad. He will always be that way. And it's hard because when you're in the Open, when you're in the spotlight, okay, many people are watching what you're doing. They want to know what's happening in your life if you're a famous person. And you have to be careful about what you say when you're out in public.
Right. They say if you're famous, it's like living under a microscope. Everybody looks at every tiny little thing you do and will probably comment on it. So I imagine it's not easy to be famous.
Exactly. Well, I certainly wouldn't mind that at all. But let's take a closer look now at the article. And remember, the subtitle is The Trouble with Layton. Because remember, Layton Hewitt has had some problems, and that's what we're talking about today. The problems that Layton Hewitt has had. For a 21-year-old, Layton Hewitt has made some impressive achievements. So he's only 21 years old. And for somebody who's only 21 years old, he's made some impressive achievements. Now, if it's impressive, it means it's pretty good, man. It's really, really good. And to achieve something means being able to do something. And so achievement is a noun form of achieve. So he has done some really incredible things for such a young man, such as Tiger Woods, who has also made some impressive achievements at a very young age. He's a very good golf player, and he is definitely the best player in the world right now, and he's not that old. So Layton Hewitt is similar in that way. At a young age, they have both made impressive achievements.
And what has Layton Hewitt done? Well, the young Australian has already attained Wimbledon and U.S. Open titles and the distinction of being the youngest number one ranked tennis player in history. So Layton has attained these titles. He's achieved. He's won these titles. He's won Wimbledon. He's won a U.S. Open. And the distinction. Now, if something is distinctive, it's very special. So this distinction that he's earned is being the youngest number one ranked tennis player in history. Not only is he number one, which is pretty impressive and distinctive, but he's also the youngest man ever to reach number one as a tennis player. That's pretty distinctive, don't you think, Tim?
Definitely distinctive. And winning Wimbledon and winning the U.S. Open, those are really, really hard tournaments to win for any tennis player. So him being so young and having won these tournaments, that's pretty amazing. That's really, really special. I know that in the women's side, well, they've had younger women players who have been number one, like Martina Hingis. She was very, very young when she became number one, but we're talking about men's tennis. That's why we're saying he's the number one ranked tennis player in history, but we're talking about in men's tennis, because men's tennis is different from women's tennis. Okay, so that's pretty impressive. That's really amazing. And of course, there's other titles that have eluded him, right? He hasn't won the Australian Open. In fact, he hasn't really done that well there. And he has not won the French Open, okay? And that takes place in France. And that's on clay courts in Wimbledon. They play on grass courts. And on the Australian Open, they just play, it's like a pavement kind of thing that they play on. So they don't play in grass or clay. So they have different surfaces that these people play on. But he's won two of the four majors. He's won Wimbledon and he's won the U.S. Open, but he has not won the Australian Open and he has not won the French Open. So let's look at the next line now. Less impressive, though, just as memorable, have been his on-court outbursts. So less impressive. Remember, these are impressive achievements, the things that he has attained, the good things he has attained. But less impressive, though just as memorable, have been his on-court outbursts. So just as memorable. When you think of Leighton Hewitt, you think, wow, man, he's won the U.S. Open. He's won the Wimbledon tournament. He has won these other things. He's been the youngest number one ranked player in the world. But you also remember, his on-court outbursts. And what's an outburst?
An outburst is if somebody suddenly starts yelling or screaming or throwing things around. That would be an outburst.
Oh, so it's like he's on the court and he's freaking out. Now, when you freak out, it means exactly that. It's an outburst. It means you're yelling, you're screaming. Maybe he's throwing your tennis racket, doing things like that. Things that are not proper, especially in tennis. It's very much a gentleman's type of game. When you think of, you know, gentlemanly sports, you think of tennis, you think of golf. But when you think of other sports that are maybe rougher, you might think of hockey or you might think of basketball. You wouldn't consider those gentlemen's games, but tennis is definitely considered that kind of a game. It's a proper game. People that usually play it are upper class. They have a little bit of money. You don't see too many people coming from very poor neighborhoods and being very good tennis players. It's usually people who have a little bit of money and can afford to spend that kind of money to get their children to learn how to play tennis. It's very much a game that's considered more of an upper class kind of game, but it's definitely an exciting game for everyone to watch.
So if you're having these outbursts, if you're screaming and throwing things on the court, well, that doesn't fit in with this sort of nice, genteel image of tennis. So that's why Leighton is also memorable, that he has these crazy outbursts when everybody around him is pretty calm.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Hewitt gloriously won his first professional title in his hometown, Adelaide, in 1998. So if you do something gloriously, it's with a lot of excitement, and people are going, wow, that is amazing.
Right, it was fantastic. He won just in such a great way his first professional title in his hometown. Now, it's great to win anywhere, but to live in your hometown, the town that you're from, that is pretty fantastic. And this was his first professional title. This was Leighton playing as a professional, not as an amateur. He was out there as a professional, and he won in 1998.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. 2 years later, however, at the same tournament, the home crowd were jeering him because he had branded them stupid for cheering his opponent. So 2 years later, so in the year 2000, however, at the same tournament, so the same tournament where he won his first professional title, the home crowd, so the people who live in Adelaide, the home crowd were jeering him. Now, if you jeer somebody, what does that mean?
Well, a jeer is not a good thing. The opposite would be a cheer, or cheering somebody would be saying to them, yeah, you can do it. That's great. You would sort of encourage them. But if you jeer at someone, you're not being very nice to them. You're probably calling them names and saying bad things about them.
Oh, so maybe they're saying stuff like, hey, you suck, Leighton. You're no good. And different things like that. So they're saying bad things to him. They weren't cheering him. They were just basically making fun of him and trying to make him angry. I think if you jeer at somebody, then you're going to make them angry and they're not going to play as well. So why were they jeering him? Because he had branded them stupid for cheering his opponent. So if you brand somebody, it's like giving somebody a name, right? It's like saying that somebody is something. So he branded them stupid. So he said that they were all stupid. The people, the hometown crowd, he said that they were stupid. How could he do that?
Well, he said they were stupid because they were cheering his opponent. And as we said, cheering is encouraging someone. So he wanted the crowd probably to cheer for him. And they were cheering for his opponent, the person he was playing against. and he probably wanted them to cheer for him.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, I guess that must have been kind of upsetting. It's his hometown, and he's thinking, the crowd should be behind me. Now, if the crowd's behind somebody, it means they're cheering them on. They want that person to win. But they were jeering him, and they were cheering his opponent. But, hey, you know what? That's the way life goes. Sometimes you can't always be the most popular person, and you have to accept that, and he didn't accept that.
Right. They say being famous can be very fickle. For example, one day you're popular, the next day you're not, so you just have to deal with it, and you really shouldn't call people stupid. I think that's not nice, especially your fans, your hometown fans. And he did something else. At the 2001 French Open, he offended disabled people when he called the chair umpire a spastic. So actually, if you jeer at people, you're offending them. But basically, to offend somebody means to say something about them that they don't like. Usually you're saying something bad about them, for example. So that is offensive. And here he offended people who were disabled, people who had some kind of physical disability, because he called the chair umpire a spastic. Now, a chair umpire is the guy who sits in the chair. He's the referee of the game. And he was called a spastic. Now, what does that mean?
Well, when we talk about somebody that is spastic, we're talking about a disabled person, a physically disabled person that has uncontrollable movements. In other words, their body will just all of a sudden start moving, and they're not controlling it. They have no control over it. And so I think that disabled people were pretty angry that he would use this term. It's like calling somebody retarded. When you call somebody retarded, it means that they're stupider, but it has a bad meaning for it, right? Because when we think of somebody that's retarded nowadays, it's not something that's a good meaning. It's a very, very bad meaning. So we don't use that term anymore. So for him to call the chair umpire spastic is bad. That is definitely bad. He should not have done that.
And we talk a lot about being PC, about being politically correct, and it's certainly not PC to call someone spastic. It's much better to say physically disabled. The same thing with people who are mentally retarded. We would say mentally challenged. That's a bit more PC and nicer.
But if somebody is not mentally challenged or physically challenged, then you shouldn't call them that. So let's move on now to the second paragraph. No, sorry, the third paragraph. The next paragraph, the one that we're going to look at right now.
But Hewitt's most controversial moment came during the 2001 U.S. Open when, upset with one particular linesman's calls against him, he loudly suggested the chair umpire look at the similarity. Okay, so he's done some things. He was yelling at the crowd, calling them stupid. He was offending disabled people. But the most controversial moment, the moment that had the most controversy, that had people talking so much about it, was during the 2001 U.S. Open. Now, he was upset with one particular linesman. Now, we say you have a chair umpire. He's the guy who sits in the chair. But then you've got the linesman who stand around the lines to see if a ball is in or out. So there was one particular linesman. There was one guy who was making calls against him. He was saying, no, that's out, that's out, that's out. The calls were against him. So then what did Layton suggest him?
Well, he suggested that the chair umpire, so the umpire that's sitting in the chair, look at the similarity. And when we talk about similarity, it means how much something is the same to something else, okay? And here he was talking about the similarity between the linesman and someone else, okay? So we know that it's not going to be too good. It's something that's really bad because it's controversial. Now, remember, controversial, it's controversy. There's something that many people feel strongly about, right? Strongly for or strongly against. Many people think that birth control is controversial, or think that abortion is controversial. So this was something that was controversial. Why? Well, let's find it in the next line. To most observers, the only apparent similarity was that the linesman and Hewitt's opponent, James Blake, were both black. So to most observers, to most people watching this, to most people who were outside of this, right? The only apparent similarity, the only thing they could see that was similar in any way, shape, or form in this match was that the linesman, okay, the man who he was angry at, and Hewitt's opponent, the man he was playing against, James Blake, were both black. And that's prejudice. And when somebody is talking about prejudice, it's usually having some kind of idea of what someone is like based on, say, how they look, their appearance, such as their skin color, or maybe on their sex. Maybe you think that, oh, a woman can't do that because she's just not strong enough or she's not good enough for that. Well, that's prejudice, and this would definitely be prejudice because he's looking at this man, James Blake, and he's saying that the linesman and James Blake are similar and that's why the linesman's helping him out. Well, we found out later that he said that was not the case.
Right. And when we're talking about something controversial, we had given some examples of abortion, birth control, and prejudice or incidences of prejudice certainly is something that causes a lot of controversy. People talk about it. It's in the media. It's also a controversial subject. But Hewitt explains himself. He says that his remarks weren't racially loaded. So he claimed, he said, the things he said, the remarks weren't racially loaded. Now, if something you say is racially loaded, it's full of racial comments, racial slurs, racial bad things. He says, no, what I said was not anything racial. The similarity he was referring to was between the bad calls and the end at which they were continuously being made.
Okay, so it means the end that the bad calls were coming from. So he's basically referring to this one linesman who's making all of these bad calls. He's saying at the other end, we're not seeing these kinds of bad calls, but on this end, we are seeing these kinds of bad calls. And he wasn't really talking about the fact that this linesman and James Blake were both black. He meant the similarity was, it's just coming from this linesman, and it's only in this spot, only at this end of the court, that these bad calls are coming out, and they're coming against him.
Well, we have no way of knowing what Layton was really thinking, so I guess in some ways we have to believe him, and he should really be careful of what he says, because he's apparently not the most articulate player on the circuit. Now, I am very often not articulate, though I try to be. Tim, what does articulate mean?
Well, if you're articulate, it means you can speak clearly. People will understand what you're talking about, what you mean, and usually it's polite. You know, you say it a nice way. You don't get really angry. You don't freak out. You're just articulate. You say what you mean clearly in a nice language.
That was a very articulate explanation. Thank you. So we're talking about players on the circuit. Here we're talking about the tennis circuit, people who are playing tennis games, tennis matches professionally. You can talk about a racing circuit. Again, the same thing. The racers, the people involved with professionally racing.
That's right. And it's a good thing these days Layton lets his racket do most of the talking. So these days, nowadays, Layton lets his racket do most of the talking. He doesn't come out and say these stupid statements anymore. He's just there to play tennis, and he's letting his racket do the talking. Now, what does that mean? How can his racket talk?
Well, we're not looking at it literally. What he's doing is exhibiting, he's expressing himself through his tennis playing. He's showing that he's a good tennis player just by playing tennis, and he's playing tennis very well. You can also let other things do the talking for you. For example, you can let your money do the talking.
Oh, yes, let your money do the talking. Show people how much money you've got, and you can spend your money. So let your money do the talking. And you can also let your fist do the talking. It means you're going to fight. It's like, I'm not going to talk to you. We're not going to argue anymore. Let's let our fist do the talking. And that's how you settle it. Whoever wins the fight will win the argument.
Well, let's hope that Layton isn't going to be doing any more fighting on the court, and he's going to let his tennis racket do the talking, and he'll be continually successful.
Exactly, because if he continued his ways, his bad ways of, you know, saying these bad things and, you know, just basically freaking out in the court, having these big outbursts, well, he wants sponsors. Now, when you have a sponsor, that's somebody, a company who pays you money to wear their clothing, or you just say, hey, this company's a good company. And every athlete wants sponsors like Nike. Tiger Woods is a big sponsor of Nike. And I know that Layton Hewitt, he wears some Nike clothes. So maybe he actually is a sponsor of Nike. I think he is. And so I know that when you have these sponsors, they want people who are going to represent their company in a good way. And if you have a bad attitude, if you act bad, well, then you might not have so many sponsors.
And we're going to continue our talking and come back in a break with the sentence of the day.
Sentence for the day.
Welcome back, everybody. It's time for our sentence of the day. And what's our sentence of the day for today?
It serves him right.
Oh, it serves him right. Now, that means to get what somebody deserves, right? If you get what you deserve, maybe you do something good, then you get what you deserve. Maybe you get a present. But if you do something bad, you will get what you deserve. Maybe it's something bad. Maybe you kill somebody, so you go to jail. And you know what? It serves you right. If you kill somebody, you're going to go to jail.
And I guess the connection here is tennis, because in tennis, of course, you have to serve the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're using this expression, it serves him right. Let's see if we can think of an example. For example, it's the morning. My brother and I are both trying to get into the bathroom to get to work, and my brother cuts ahead of me. And then on his way to work, he has an accident. And that would serve him right because he cut ahead of me.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, maybe he didn't have an accident. Maybe he was late in traffic. I don't want my brother to have an accident, but it serves him right. He cut ahead of me. He should have waited.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, when you go to, say, you know, you go to McDonald's and then somebody butts in front of you in line, right? Doesn't that just really bother you? Well, it sure bothers me, and that happened to me the other day. And you know what happened? Well, I just ended up switching to another line because a new counter opened up and I got served right away, and his line took a long time. So it served him right. He got what he deserved.
Right. He shouldn't have bumped into you. I thought you were going to say perhaps he spilled his drink or something over his tray and it serves him right because he cut ahead of you.
No. Well, that's not the case. But you know what? I'm sure that everybody just can't wait for tomorrow's show. I know I can't. It's so exciting with Leighton Hewitt. For now, that's all the time we have left. My name's Tim.
I'm Mary Beth.
Bye.
Goodbye.